Blog Talk Radio. Giving us the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. and to love your neighbor as yourself, which covers all the laws. That covers all. It's covered under those two great commandments and the commandment with promise. To love your mother and your father. And if you go into the top 10, it says to love your mother and your father, that your days may be long on this earth. We've got, and Solomon is giving us an understanding of what we need to do. What we need to do. We need to follow the commandments of God. And we need to love each other. Loving each other is so important. God loves us so much. He wants the best for us. Hallelujah. Can you thank him this morning? Can you thank him this morning? I'm so grateful that God loved us and that he loved me. I didn't mean to preach this morning, but this word is so important that I just had to give what God gave me, the commandments. I've been working with the children's ministry on the commandments. You know, they got their top 10 down, and we worked on love last week. Because love is the key to everything. Loving God and loving each other. When we love God, we can love each other. We got to love us first, though. You can't love somebody else and hate yourself. So we got to learn to love ourselves as we love God so we can love others. Because when we love God and love ourselves, we don't get into all the hateful rhetoric that goes on in this nation. We got to stop it and stop and start remembering who we are and who we belong to. And as we go into our word, we just pray, Father God in heaven, we ask you to increase as we decrease. Lord God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble, humble heart this morning be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength and redeemer. Gave me your son to love me. To cover me from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet. I thank you for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. In whom do I fear? No one. Because I have the Father, I have the Son, and I have the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that sustains me every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. Praise the Lord, somebody. Can you praise the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the glory and the honor and the praise. Hallelujah. For your grace and your mercy towards me. Hallelujah. And as we get into our word, please join me in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse 14. Our psalm for this morning is the 103rd Psalm, verses 15 through 22. And our proverb for this morning is the 24th Proverb, verses 13 through 14. And we are in Corinthians chapter 11 verses 1 through 16. And on tomorrow, we will be in Old Testament Friday, and we will be starting in Song of Solomon. And so I am excited because I'm going to just tell you right now, girlfriends, go get your husbands because it's just one of the words for husbands and wives, just letting you know it's a little racy. But it gives you an understanding on what you need to do. Whew, the word of God goes real, real far. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And if there is anyone that's not able to hear me, please dial 213-943-3597. because I needed to just make sure that we are clear. I know there was some issues on yesterday with someone not being able to hear me clearly. So I'm hoping that today is a better day. But we are going to get into the word of God. And it says, cast your bread upon the waters, but you will find it after many days. Give a serving to seven and also to eight. For you do not know what evil will be on the earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or the north in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. He who observes the wind will not sow. Hallelujah. Will not sow. And he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know what is the way of the wind, or how the bones grow in the womb of her who is with child. So you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed. And in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper. Woo! In other words, you got to give to others. Either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Truly, the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. A man lives many years and rejoices in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. All that is coming is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh. For childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days and the years draw near, when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I have no pleasure in them. While the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are not darkened, and the clouds do not return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong man bow down, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, when the doors are shut in the street and the sound of grinding is low, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of music are brought low. Also, they are afraid of heights and of terrors in the way. When the almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper is a burden, and desire fails. For man goes to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yet he pondered and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads, and the words of scholars are like well-driven nails given by one shepherd. And further, my son, he admonished by these, of making many books there is no end, and much study is wearisome to the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole manner. Fear God, his commandment. For this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Wow. Of all the words Solomon could give, he started off time for everything. And he let us know, after all what it looked like, is he complaining? Is he? No, he was going through. We all go through. Solomon was going through, but he let us know at the end of all the things I said. Remember this. Remember this and take heed and take heart. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole man. Just some of it, but the whole man. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is man's. God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. God will bring everything into judgment. Not me, not you, but God, the ultimate judge of every one of us. It's so easy to judge people on this earth, but it is God that will judge us in the afterlife, when we all must stand before him and give an accounting of our life, the good, the bad, and the downright ugly. Because we're going through some ugly right now, and God is sending everything he can at us. He already told you the world will end with fire. And if we keep up with the foolishness of hatred and bigotry and every kind of phobia you can think of, we better understand we will be judged. I pray daily for the people of Maui who understood and found out what it means to die by fire, for people to perish, for things to go away because of fire. Fire is no joke. I knew someone whose house caught on fire. They were out of their home for 3 or 4 months. Why they had to fix it. Electrical fire can happen. We want Holy Ghost fire, not physical fire. We want Holy Ghost fire that comes from keeping God's commandment, that comes from knowing Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We don't want to have vanities of vanities. We want to have faith before fear. Because the fear is not to have faith. God wants us to love each other. And he wants us to love him with every part of our mind, with our soul, with our heart, with our heart, with our soul, with our mind. That's what God wants from us. Not lip service. You know, we have a tendency. We've gotten into the thoughts and prayers as our children are being shot dead. Thoughts and prayers as land is being destroyed by fire. Thoughts and prayers as hurricanes are hitting family members' homes. Thoughts and prayers. But what are we doing about it? Are we really praying? Are we really calling out to God? Pray. Mr. Carolyn told us about it yesterday. We are in war. We are having a warfare moment. You know, I was looking up at the sky, and I believe I spoke this on yesterday. And I was in my car, but I was driving, and I couldn't take the pictures. It was just something that caught my eye. And the young lady who was with me, I said, can you take that picture for me and send it to me? And she took the picture with her camera and then our phone, and then she sent it to me. And to me, it looked like an angel walking across the sky. A fiery angel dressed. It was like the clouds had opened up for this red. It was the sun going down, but it looked like an angel to me. And I thought, God is trying to tell us something. And then I had somebody say, well, you know, it was just a cloud. And, you know, you see what you want to see. Well, I guess I wanted to see an angel because I sure did see one. And it was like, wow, look at God. You know, as the sun was setting, the angel was walking the earth. And it was not the angel of darkness, because where that was, it was fire and light. Hallelujah. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Ecclesiastes 11:4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The procrastinator can easily miss out on God's best for his life. He'll model me, I'll do it now as the Lord directs and enable me. It will save a lot of heartache later, and I can speak that from experience. It's so easy to say, I get it in a little bit. And then you sit down, and you never get it done. We got to stop, and I'm speaking to me. I can't talk about anybody else. I have to stop being a procrastinator because I can be there. I can do it. I can go there, and it's not what I need to do. I got too much work to do. It's time to go to work, Rich and Marie. I can speak to myself. You know, Ecclesiastes 11:5, you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Come on, you better speak, Solomon. The preacher is speaking this morning. God's ways are higher than ours, and his thoughts far loftier and greater. Isaiah 55:8-9. And yet what he has revealed, he has given so that we might follow him joyfully. Deuteronomy 29:29. Let us treasure God's word. And we're going to go over to Isaiah 55:8. And Deuteronomy 2. We're going to get them both. And when we go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, and I'm coming out of the NIV. And it says this, highlightable. Don't you love it when you can open your Bible and your highlightables are in there? And it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Hallelujah. God's thoughts are greater than our thoughts. You know, he broke it down. Dr. Stanley did. God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts far loftier and greater than ours. And God spoke through Isaiah. And I love, if you go back up to verse 6-7, it says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. God is in charge, but so many times we want to take God's place, and we cannot take the place of God. We cannot take the place of God. We've got to understand there's only one entity in charge of everything, including creation, and that is God. And we got to trust him. We got to believe in him. We got to stand on his word. It's not about me. It's about him. And when we understand it's about him, everything else falls into place. Everything falls into place. God, this morning, for his word. And as we go to Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. Period. Moses broke it all down in the book of Deuteronomy. And we have got to read it. We have, thank you, Lord, that we have read it all. You know, we are wow, we are probably 3/4 finished with the word. We will be done. We have September, October, November, December, 4 more months, God willing. And we will be have read this entire Bible. What a mighty God we serve when we take it to heart and believe what we read. I believe everything in here because I know what Daddy God can do. He's worked in my own life. Hallelujah. And I'm so grateful that he loves me like that. And as we go into what the Bible says about the value of diligence, talked about procrastination, says the early bird gets the worm, sharp as a tack. Come on now. You've probably heard these time-worn cliches many times. But have you ever realized that both overflow with biblical significance regarding a character trait vital to any successful venture? That character trait is diligence, frequently contrasted in the Bible with laziness and procrastination. The Hebrew language uses two word pictures to illustrate diligence, dawn and a night, thus portraying an individual who is fully awake and alert. The early birds are sharpened and honed, sharp as a tack. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. The preacher tells us in Ecclesiastes 11:4, we can't spend our time daydreaming, nor can we wait to get started until all conditions look absolutely optimal. Optimal. In the morning, sow your seed, and in the evening, do not withhold your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, either this or that, or whether both alike will be good. A diligent man is satisfied man. The lazy man is always dreaming and wanting, but never willing to pay the price of perseverance. Thus he comes to frustration and emptiness. Before the Apostle Peter listed his character building blocks, such as faith, virtue, knowledge, and self-control, he exhorted his readers to apply all diligence, 2 Peter 1:5. Such qualities are not found in a superficial Christian. They take root in one's character only through steadfast application and pursuit. The overriding motivation for the cultivation and attainment of diligence is not material gain. Can I say that again? The overriding motivation for the cultivation and attainment of diligence is not material gain, but the urgency of our Christian witness. I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, Jesus said. The night is coming when no one can work. John 9:4. We better understand. We've got to go to work now in getting soul saved. People understanding the word of God. It's time to go to work. I get up early in the morning to go to work for God and reading this word, in studying this word, in getting this word into the airwaves, because that's my job. That's what God has called me to do. Get up early in the morning. Don't wait till night, because night you're tired. Night you're not at your best. In the morning when you are alert and you can hear my voice, that's when I need you to go to work. We got to get up. We got to do what God is calling us to do. Speak his word in your house. Get it in the atmosphere. Tell the enemy, you are not welcome here. We've got to go to work. Hallelujah. It says our pilgrimage on earth is brief. A diligent lifestyle alert to every opportunity to share Christ and make him known will have the greatest influence on the kingdom of God. Time is precious. We redeem it for his purposes as we remain diligent in our work, our study, our witness, and our prayers. Praise the Lord. And this is what he says in the last two life lessons for Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he says, remember now your creator in the days of your youth. Toward the end of his life, Solomon did not walk with God. And so he dreaded growing old. Let us strive to be more like Moses, who at the end still had bright eyes and a zest for life, 120 years old, still looking good, still vibrant. But understand, God called him home, young in heart, young in spirit, young with a pep in his step, who was ready to go into the promised land, but knew he couldn't get there, knew he wasn't going there. And then he died. You know, when we go, this is the death of Moses, chapter 34, this is, then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah, as far as the western sea, the Negev, and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of homes, as far as Zoar. Think about God being able to show you it with your eyes like you are a telescope where you can see everything. Then the Lord said to him, this is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said I would give it to you, your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it. Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. But to this day, come on now, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. Woo! Eyes were not weak. 120 years old, looking good still, in good health. And God took him home. Told you where he buried him. But then he said, but nobody will be able to find the grave. Come on now. Hallelujah. Because when God buries something, it stays buried. You better believe that. Hallelujah. And then our last word is our title for this morning from Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. From Genesis to Revelation, God instructs and urges his people to obey his commandments and to fear his great name. Yet we are to do so with joy in our souls and love in our hearts. Hallelujah. We got to love God and we got to love each other. And as we go into our psalm this morning, it says, and we are in the 103rd Psalm, verses 15 through 22. All I can say is Ecclesiastes has been rich. Whew, and it ended on a high note with fear God and keep his commandments. But this is man's all. Solomon knew. He knew what he had to do. He needed to change. I'm believing that he changed. I'm believing that he got it right when he wrote this word, that he got it right. When he wrote the Proverbs, he got it right, that he changed before he died. I'm believing and I'm hoping that his wisdom carried it into repentance. That's what I hope for Solomon, because this Ecclesiastic word is, whew, it's something to read. And it goes on to tell us in our psalm, it says, as for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it and it is gone. Place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. Come on. There it is again. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you, his angels, who excel in strength and who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you, his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. So thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy. Proverbs 24, verses 13 through 14. My son, eat honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to your taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul. If you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off. Wow. Knowledge, understanding, wisdom is good for the soul. And now we're going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. And I want to say this, you know, because so many times you have folks that will take a word and make it into what it's not. You know, and as we know in yesterday's lesson, Paul is telling us what he thinks. You know, and he tells us, you know, there, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. He says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. So he talks about salvation. And as we get into today's word, as we continue in this word, and we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we're in verses 1 through 16. And now Paul is telling us what he feels. He said, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. And he says, now I praise you, brothers, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. And then he tells us, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. But that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. All right. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shown. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shown or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. But man is not from woman, but woman from man. Now, nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angel. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For woman came from man, even so man also comes to woman, but all things are from God. Judge amongst yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. And if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. Bam. You know, folks take part of it, but don't read the whole thing. And, you know, and I love it because it tells us, judge amongst yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. For her hair is given to her for a what? Covering. But your hair is your covering because it was given to you by God. Come on now. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. He said, this is what I think, but we have no such custom. So we still have to remember that it is the truth. So many folks get all bent out of shape over this word, but Paul broke it down And he said, but if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. But we get all, you got folks that will have a moment in some churches if a woman decides to pray. Oh, no. She can't be up in that pulpit. She can't be the preacher. She can't be the, oh, she can teach other women. And she can teach the children, but she can't teach men anything. But what if it's her calling? And what if God called her or told her, I need you to start this ministry? So are you questioning God? Certain men who have gone so legalistic that they forgot how to honor God. We've got to understand that we don't make the decisions of anybody's calling. God does. He calls women to mission. He calls women to minister. He calls women to pastor. He calls women to evangelize and prophesy. And we have got to let folks go to work for whatever it is they're called. Because I like to ask so many of these men-driven churches, would the church survive all the women in it left? We got to understand that God is calling all of us to work right now. Whether you're a woman, whether you're a child, whether you're a man, men, women, and children are being called. It's all hands on deck. We are on that boat. And if we want our boat to reach its final destination, all hands on deck. Because we are in a storm right now. We're in a storm of confusion. We're in a storm of lies being guised as truth. We're being in a place where alternative facts have been created. An alternative fact is a lie. And you got to call it what it is, a lie. We've got to understand God is watching all that we do. Are we keeping him? Are we honoring him? Are we speaking his name? Are we speaking the name of people, places, and things? Because if you are, it's idolatry. And that is one of the biggest commandments. What did Jesus say when he just wrapped it up into two? To love the Lord your God with all your heart. Divided heart with all your soul. Have one foot in, one foot out. And with all your mind, God is wanting all of us, our heart, our soul, our mind. He wants it all. And then he gives us this big edit to love your neighbor as yourself. What did Solomon tell us way back in the Old Testament? Because we know Jesus has always been there. He was there in the beginning. Let us make man in our image. Come on now. Our. But our image, God said. The hour was his son. Hallelujah. The angels of heaven he had already created. And he said, Solomon tells us, fear God and keep his commandments. But this is man's all. From Genesis to Revelation, God instructs and urges his people to obey his commandments. Yet we are to do so with joy, our souls and love in our hearts. Hallelujah. And when we go over to 1 Corinthians, and we're going to go there, chapter 16. I am just, this word has just touched my heart because God is giving us so much and he wants us just to be kind and loving and faithful. Do what he asks us to do. Not about us, all about him. Hallelujah. Are you trusting God today? And when we go Jews. It's the final greeting in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and it says, the churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, our curse be on him. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And I got to go back up into verse 13, and it says, be on your guard, saints. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. Be strong. Everything in love. Whatever we do, we got to do it in love. We can't get caught up in what's going on in this world. We can't get caught up in he said, she said. And woo-woo and boo-boo and all of them said. We got to get caught up in what does God say. So many times we look and we see a truth of a manner. And then we look and see others that don't see a truth of a manner. Well, it's a conspiracy. It's a this. It's a that. Do you have eyes to see? Do you have ears to hear? Or are you so caught up? Satan has clouded your eyes. We got to stop. And as we look, if you are a woman and man of God, you are seeing in today's world played out before our eyes. For the spirit of Antichrist to come into this world. How easy it is for people to follow that spirit. We watched it in history, in Germany, in Italy. We saw it in Japan, and we're seeing it right here if we don't get on our knees and pray. God is speaking this morning. Are you listening? Are you fearing God and keeping his commandments? Or are you fearing people and being afraid? And walking in fear and afraid to tell the truth to power. That lies are lies and truth is truth. And you can't guide it up. You can't project it on somebody else. God sees everything. God knows his children. The question is, do you know who your father is? That's our word for this morning. God is just, I'm filled up when I think about how good God is and how much he loves his children. And all he asks from us is to have faith, is to know that he is in charge of everything. We saw a Category 3 hurricane hit Florida on yesterday. We saw fire hit Maui. Fire and water. Got hit by it all. Oh, and let's not forget the earthquake. Do you think you might need to be listening? Do you think that God is not speaking? Oh, I can only speak about a strong wind that came through where I live and knocked down a tree, a big tree, a pecan tree, knocked it down, cut it in half, down to the stump. Come on now, to the trunk, excuse me. Do we not think God is not speaking to us? I had to say thank you, Lord, because then God sent a man of God to come in and take care of it. I couldn't do nothing more than cry because I saw the work of God in it. Don't tell me what God can't do. I've seen him work. I've seen him work. Hallelujah. Thank God every day for his grace, for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness towards you. Love the Lord and love each other. God is not asking much of us to keep his commandments and to love each other. Our time is growing short. It's time to go to work. Get up. Go to work. Whatever your assignment is, just do it. And do it well. Because our Father is watching. And don't you want to make your daddy proud of you? Hallelujah. If there's anybody that God has given a word to this morning, please dial 213-943-3357. And as we go into a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning, whew, I'm just filled up, y'all. I'm just filled up. I can't help myself. This word has touched my heart. Solomon, vanities of vanities. And I pray that he was saved again, that the wisdom didn't take the place of God, and that he remembered who gave him everything. And what Sister Carolyn has for us today is this. Ooh, Hallelujah. Good morning. Wherever you go today, God will be there. Have a thankful Thursday. What a word. Wherever you go today, God will be there. Hallelujah. Woo! God, for our sister in Christ and the word that God gives her every day to just make us feel better, that when you, wherever you're going today, wherever you're going, even if you are staying in your house and you're going to the bathroom, I'm just going to call it like it is. Just remember, God is there, and you can talk to him. You can have a conversation with him wherever you are. Hallelujah. I was taking my shower this morning, and I was having a conversation with God, just thanking him for the water. Come on now, because I'm going to tell you something. When you live on a well, all you can do is say thank you. Every time the water comes out of the faucet, thank you. Hallelujah. God, this morning, say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I lift up your name. Lord, I give you all of me. Use me to your glory. Lord, hallelujah. Let me not procrastinate. Let me do what I need to do. But Lord God, I am your servant and I represent you. Lord God, let me represent you in a great light. Not a good light, but a great light. But you are the light of my life. You are the joy in my heart. You are my Father, and I love you more than anything. So give God thanks today. Lift up each other and remember, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it, God is with you wherever you go today. He is there. Hallelujah. God is there. He is here. I feel his presence. And all I can say is, thank you for this word today. And I remind you this morning, fear God and keep his commandments, but this is man's all. That's all I have, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours as we lift up sick and shut in, God. I ask you to watch over each and every one of them. Watch over our seniors. Watch over our children. Watch over each and every one of your children, God. And watch over this planet as we go through, God. Keep reminding us of who you are, that you are in charge of it all, that there is no wind and no rain without you. There is no sun without you. There is no warmth without you. But you are everything. You put the sun in the sky to keep us warm. You put the moon in the sky to give us life. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. May we keep your commandments. May we love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And may we love each other as you love us, keeping your commandments, God. And may we honor the promise, God, to honor our mothers and our fathers. So our days will be long on this earth, but we know that it is a commandment with a promise. Father God, we thank you today. We thank you for your grace and mercy. And as we wrap up today, God, I ask again that you watch over and bless each and every person who listens to this word in the atmosphere, in the blogosphere. May it touch their heart as it touched mine. May it give them peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Watch over all those, Lord God, that are suffering in Maui, in California, in Florida, and all up the coast, that this Hurricane Idalia is working our way up. We ask you, Lord God, watch over your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking all of you again for joining me this morning, this early morning, because I got a pimp in my step and joy in my heart. Have a great day, family. I pray everyone was able to hear me and that it was clear. I'm still working on this microphone and these mediums of technology. So keep working with it, girls. Pray for me, y'all. And have a great day. It is a wrap. Remember, wherever you are, God is with you. Be blessed. It's a wrap. Because I got to go to work.